This is Dr. Max Schultz, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church in Walnut Grove, Minnesota. It is our privilege to be with you now for this half hour, and we hope that you have your Bibles out and you're ready to follow along, because that's the only way that we learn the Word of God is to give it out and you take it in. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us the same time each week. And again, we count it our privilege to be able to have this time with you. We want to get right in and on our messages here on Islam, as we have quite a few things that we would like to bring out and bring to your attention. As we have found out here, this is not a peaceful religion. As we studied last week, if you listened to our broadcast, it is a killer religion. They want to have a worldwide worship of Allah, and Muhammad, his prophet, of course, is nothing more than a demon-possessed man that had all these visions and dreams and so forth, and wife finally convinced him after he was going to commit suicide, and was going to do that several times, convinced him that all these revelations here were from Allah the God, and so forth, a synthetic God, a God that was made up, and so forth. But anyway, we want to give you just a little bit of information concerning this man. We find out here that the Muslim scholar and statesman by the name of Alaa Dashtah gives the following concerning in his research here of Muhammad, this so-called prophet, of all of the wives of this man that he had. And he lists that he had, in their research here, he had 22. And the first 16 women were wives. Number 17 and 18 were slaves or concubines. And the last four women were neither wives or slaves, but devout Muslim women who gave themselves to satisfy Muhammad's sexual desires. The third wife that he had was Aisha, and she was only 8 or 9 years old when Muhammad took her to his bed. According to Hadith, that is the other writings outside of, that's the second writings that they have listed there. We find the Quran is the first, and the Hadith is equal to the Quran, and both of them are really their Bibles that they use and follow. She was still playing with her dolls, and but only 8 or 9 years old when Muhammad took her to his bed. And this facet of Muhammad's sexual appetite is particularly distressing to Westerners. While in Islamic countries, an 8 or 9 year old girl can be given in marriage to an adult male, in the West, most people would shudder to think that an 8 or 9 year old girl being given in marriage to anyone, although it is condemned by the Jews and in their Talmud. This aspect of Muhammad's personal life is something that many scholars pass over once again because they do not want to hurt the feelings of Muslims. Yet, history cannot be rewritten to avoid confronting the facts that Muhammad had unnatural desires for little girls. Then, the documentation for all the women in Muhammad's harem is so vast that it has been presented so many times by able scholars that only those who absolutely reject the truth can object to it. Now, that's very interesting here about the man here who says he is a prophet of Allah and so forth, you see. And another thing that we want to bring out here, which is almost mind-shaking, and we find out that in the teachings of the Islamic religion, it would have been shocking before 9/11. Since 9/11, it borders on the unbelievable that any public school in the United States of America would teach this dangerous doctrine. You know, the ACLU and others of their like have labored a long time and very, very hard to drive the last vestiges of the Bible and the Christian religion from the schools. Leaders of the public schools, in order to be politically correct, have bowed to the wishes of the radicals in this country. You know, it's an amazing. You look at leaders in your schools, your superintendents, your principals, And you see the spineless backbone that some of these men now have and bow to this just in order to be politically correct. Courts have often sided with the anti-God liberals who hate the Bible and all that it stands for. And at the same time, these same people seem to be very open-minded toward other religions. Can you imagine what would happen if public schools required students to read the Bible, memorize verses, and take biblical names? There would be a great uproar, and the liberal news media, of course, would beat the drums day and night, wouldn't they? I mean, you would find it everywhere in their papers. The ACLU would file suit, and the schools would feel the pressure and most certainly have to stop the practice. Now, we are told that the students studied about Muhammad, the former founder, we should say, of Islam, and it's doubtful that they studied about the many wives of Muhammad, you see, as we have just listed. 22 of them. Muslims are limited to just 4 wives today. But he had no such limitation. He was given his youngest wife when she was 6 years old, but he was such a kind gentleman that he did not consummate the marriage until she was 8 or 9 years old. The following, and I want to read this here, article is reprinted from the World Net Daily on Thursday, January the 10th in 2002. And I want to read this because it's very interesting and it's the facts. And it will shock you that America is this stupid and to practice and do what we're about to see here. It says, and it starts out, Brave New Schools, Islam Studies Required in California District Course has 7th graders memorizing Quran verses praying to Allah. Now, in the wake of September 11, an increasing number of California public school students must attend an intensive 3-week course on Islam, reports the paper Assist News Service. So when we refer to this on down, it would just be A-N-S. The course mandates that 7th graders learn the tenets of Islam, study the important figures of the faith, wear a robe, adopt a Muslim name, and stage their own jihad. Now, jihad, if you remember in our previous messages here, is the end war when they seek to take over the world. Of course, America is one of their main enemies, along with the Jews. But they're going to take over the world, and everybody's going to worship Allah, and if you don't worship Allah, then you are to be killed. Now, according to this apparent hypocrisy, reports ANS, students must memorize many verses in the Quran. They are taught to pray in the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, and are instructed to chant praise to Allah, Lord of creation. Now, we would never teach Christianity like this. One outraged parent told ANS by the name of Mrs. Elizabeth Christina Lemmings, a teacher in the Bryan, California Union School District, that she was unaware of the course until her 7th grade son brought home the handouts. These were obtained by ANS. The handouts include a history of Islam and the life of Muhammad, its founder. There are 25 Islamic terms that must be memorized, 6 Islamic or Arabic phrases, 20 Islamic proverbs to learn along with the 5 pillars of faith, and 10 key Islamic prophets and disciples to be studied. We can't even mention the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ in the public schools, Lemmings says. But they teach Islam as the true religion, and students are taught about Islam and how to pray to Allah. Can you imagine the barrage of lawsuits and problems we would have from the ACLU if Christianity were taught in the public schools? If we tried to teach about the contributions of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Apostle Paul, and to teach the Bible, but when it comes to furthering the Islamic religion, a killer religion, in the public schools, there's not one word from the ACLU. You know, people for the American way, there's no word from them or anybody else. This is total hypocrisy. ANS reports that students are to pretend that they are Muslims. They're to wear Muslim clothing to school, stage their own jihad. And remember again, jihad is the last battle where the Muslims take over the world and kill all of those who will not adhere and recognize Muhammad as their prophet and Allah as their God, you see. They are not only to wear Muslim clothing to school, but they're to stage their own jihad and via a dance game and pick out a Muslim name to replace their own from a list of 30. When asked what they thought about the course, students described it as, well, it's fun, while others described Islam as a pretty culture. Joseph Lemmings, 12, told ANS the jihad was like playing a video game. The fun description disrupts Elizabeth Lemmings, who she sees the course as a tool not only to engender sympathy and support for the Muslim cause, but for recruitment. This is not just a class of history of examining culture, she said. This course is entirely too specific. It is more about indoctrination. Another lady by the name of Nancy Castro, that's not Castro of Cuba, that just happens to be her last name. She's principal of Intermediate Excelsior School of Bryan, and she told ANS paper that the Islam course included within the history of culture reflects California educational standards. Castro maintains the course is not religion, but ancient culture and history. We do not endorse any religion. We just make students aware. Boy, isn't that cute? Castro further emphasized the course textbook is in use throughout California. The textbook used for the Islamic course across the centuries is published by the Houghton Mifflin and has been adopted by the California school system. Can you believe this in America? That we have idiots in our leadership, in our public schools, this asinine, to allow this to take place? They evidently know nothing about Islam religion. They've never read the Quran. And these are our leaders of our country, leaders of our school system. This is unbelievable. You wonder why America's in the mess it's in, because we have leaders like this. In it, according to ANS, Islam is presented broadly in a completely positive manner, whereas the limited references to Christianity are shown in a negative light, with events such as the Inquisition and the Salem witch hunts highlighted in bold black type. ANS notes the portrayal of Islam that it leaves out the word of the wars, the massacres, cruelties against Christians, and other non-Muslims that Islam has consistently perpetrated over the centuries. Ask if there was any response from parents about the Islam course. Mrs. Castro told ANS, oh, a couple of parents called to express concern, three to be exact, and that's all the response that there was. Isn't that something? That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Now, as we continue on, I want to read some things here again and from the Quran, and just to enlighten our listeners here that this religion of the Muslim religion, the Islamic religion, wants to take over America. Now, let me read you from the Quran, if I may do this. And it says here in the Quran in chapter 9, verse 73, O prophets, strive hard against the unbelievers and the hypocrites, and be firm against them. Their abode is hell, an evil refuge indeed. Now, that's against anybody who's not a Muslim, anybody that doesn't worship Muhammad and doesn't worship Allah. And then it goes on down in the Quran in chapter 17, verses 16 and 17. When we decide to destroy a population, we send a definite order to them who have the good things in life and yet transgress. Now, they have the good things in life. That would be one, be America. And yet we transgress and so forth, so that Allah's word is proved true against them. In other words, we have the good things in life, and we do in America. We ought to be extremely grateful. And yet we transgress because we don't worship Allah, this false synthetic God. And so that Allah's word is proved true against them, because we're going to be attacked by them, you see. And then we destroy them utterly. Can you believe this? This is what the Islamic religion is about. This is what Mohammedism is about. This is what Muslims believe, my friend. This is coming from the Quran here, chapter 17, verse 16 and 17. How many generations, and I'm quoting again, how many generations have we destroyed after Noah? And enough is thy Lord to note, or thy Allah to note, and see the sins of his servants. The Quran sanctions genocide, then it boasts of how many generations have been destroyed after Noah by genocide. Another verse glorifying genocidal slaughter follows, and is found in the Quran in chapter 21, verse 11. How many were the populations we utterly destroyed because of their inequities, setting up in their place other peoples? That's other peoples, that's the Muslims. Because these generations have been destroyed by the Muslims because they wouldn't worship Allah. And you're letting all of these Muslims flow into America, build mosque? My friend, if you're a Muslim, you believe the Quran. And if you don't believe the Quran, then why are you telling me you're a Muslim unless you're lying to me and you're here in America under false pretenses, pretending to be so loving, so kind, and when the true fight comes, and there's enough Muslims in America to take over America, or feel they have enough to totally destroy America and its economy and anything else the way that they possibly can. 9/11 was a very good point in fact. These were Muslims, friends, that wanted to destroy America, and look what they did. And yet they're coming here and saying, we're peaceful now, we don't believe in that. Yes, you do, because your Quran teaches you to do that. So you're lying. You're not telling the truth. So if you don't believe the Quran, why are you a Muslim? But then their true faces will shine. All of these nicey-niceys, whether they're doctors or whether they're school officials, whether they're senators, and we put them in these kind of offices, these are people that hate you. This is their Bible says to destroy you, America. And we are this stupid to think that we're going to believe. Some of you people need to read the Quran and see what these people really believe. And there's many in this country under the disguise of being so loving, so kind. We're not of these radicals and so forth like that. If you believe the Quran, then you're here under false pretenses. You believe the Quran, then you're very deceptive. You're not telling the truth. And you will, when it comes time for the jihad, and they feel there's enough Muslims in America to take over America, then you know what? Your true face will shine. You will come out with your spiritual brothers and sisters here of Muslims, and you will seek to kill Americans just like the Quran tells you to do, and your false god Allah, made up by Muhammad, another demon-possessed man who claimed to be a prophet, you see. Now let's go on down. In the Quran also, in chapter 47, in verses 3 and 4, it reads this, "This because those who reject Allah follow vanities, while those who believe follow the truth from their Lord, or from Allah. Thus doeth Allah set forth for men their lessons by similitudes. Therefore, when we meet the unbeliever, that is, any that's not a Muslim and does not worship Allah, smite them at their necks. At length, when you have thoroughly subdued them, bind a bond firmly upon them," that is, take them captives. After examining these Quranic verses, condoning fighting, conflict, terror, slaughter, and genocide against those who do not accept Islam, is it any wonder that there is so much barbaric violence and cruelty associated with Islam today? One man says there are so many incidences against Christians and non-Muslims that are running through the pages of the Quran, that we find it hard to believe that anybody can be a real practicing Muslim now or then and not hate Christians. It is impossible. Any Muslim who is not violent, secretly or openly, is hardly a real Muslim, at least not in the Quranic sense. It means he has not got the spirit of Islam, or he is just undercover. We find out also, another man said, and quote, "Muslims all over the world have been known to point their fingers at Western society and comment on how degenerate Westerners have no sense of family, and that a consequence, crime immorality and violence are rampant all over the West. The implication is that Western society is ridden with the consequences of their decadent and immoral liberality and irreligious attitude. That means they don't worship Allah. The truth is something completely different. The fact is that the highest incidences of violent crimes such as murder, rape, child molestation, dismemberment, and armed robbery happen in Islamic countries. In non-Islamic countries, whether terrorist or wherever terrorist and subversive activities take place, one is sure to find the presence of Muslims. This pattern is so obvious that it leads a person to wonder, what exactly is it that makes Muslims so viciously engaged in violent crimes against the rest of humanity? Why are all terrorist activities that target innocent non-Muslim victims always abetted to Muslim terrorists? What is it that makes the Muslim mind so subject to criminality and display of such violent tendencies right from his or her childhood days? Well, the answer lies in the systematic brainwashing that Muslims are subjected to since birth. The majority of non-Islamic world has deluded itself into believing that the principles of Islam are tolerant in nature. This misconception is heightened when people think that the fault lies with only a handful of misguided Muslims who are not adhering to Islamic principles and hence indulge in terrorism. It's time for the entire world to realize, especially America, that Islam, by its very nature and through its essential principles, openly supports and encourages and propagates terrorism of the worst kind. Therefore, the Islamic terrorist is, in fact, the most devout Muslim because he is following exactly what Islam teaches through the divine Quran. It is this very Quran which is considered by Muslims to be the holy word of their Allah himself. The Quran functions as the central terrorist manual that urges them to slaughter, rape, torture, pillage, mutilate, and molest all non-Muslims. To get an idea of what kind of conditioning the Muslim mind undergoes, a person need only open the Quran. Every chapter is brimming over with hatred and ruthless cruelty and the sort of invective that would make the Ku Klux Klan shake in its shoes. The exceptionally cruel, sadistic, and violent nature of Muhammad's motivations and Allah's inspirations spill out through almost every verse of the Quran. The idea that Islam is a religion of peace is absolutely absurd on the face in its light of these facts. In contrast, true Christianity is indeed a religion of peace. It does not grow by war or forced conversions, and it is offered freely and can be rejected if one so wills to do so. That's the difference. Let me give you a few verses. We find out in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." It is only through Jesus Christ that a person can find absolute true peace, not through a demon-possessed Muhammad and a synthetic Allah that doesn't exist, who was nothing more than the Allah, the name for the moon god, and so forth. But in our Bible, the true God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, tells us this: "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God." And all the way down, Psalms 34:14, "Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it." We don't find anything like that in the Quran, only kill, 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 you see. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Romans 14, 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify one another. Now, I could go on and on and on, but I want to read you something, and Can a Muslim Be a Good American?, written by Dr. A. Shorosh. He is a former Muslim who had accepted Jesus Christ and converted to Christianity. Theologically, no, a Muslim cannot be a good American theologically because his allegiance is to Allah, the moon god of Arabia. Spiritually, can he be a good American? No, because his allegiance is to the five pillars of Islam and the Quran. Geographically, no, because his allegiance is to Mecca, to which he turns in prayer five times a day. Can he be a good American socially? No, because his allegiance is to Islam, and it forbids him to make friends with Christians or Jews. Politically, no, because he must submit to the mullah, that's spiritual leaders, who teach annihilation of Israel and destruction of America, who they claim is the great Satan. Can he be a good American domestically? No, because he is instructed to marry four women and beat and scourge his wife when she disobeys him in the Quran, chapter 4, verse 34. Can he religiously? No, because no other religion is accepted by his Allah except Islam. Intolerance is their rule. That's why they'll kill you if you don't submit to Allah, their God, and Muhammad, their prophet. That's in the Quran, chapter 2, verse 256. Intellectually, no, can't be a good American intellectually because he cannot accept the American Constitution since it is based on biblical principles and he believes the Bible to be corrupt. Philosophically, no, can't be a good American there, because Islam, Muhammad, and the Quran do not allow freedom of religion or and expression. Democracy and Islam cannot coexist. Every Muslim government is either dictatorial or autocratic. Spiritually, no, because when we declare one nation under God, the Christian's God is loving and kind, while Allah is never referred to as our Heavenly Father or is ever called love in the Quran. It's 99 excellent names, never called that. So America is allowing these Muslims who hate America to take up positions, elected to be our senators and so forth, put their mosque and everything in America. And, sir, I say this, which you're not going to hear, because we don't want to offend a Muslim. Well, I want to offend them. That's too bad. I want to expose them for what they are, because you seek to take over America. And when you get enough Muslims in here that are all these nice people that are having good positions in America, enjoying all the freedom and everything, when you get enough Muslims here in America, the jihad will come, and America will be in a civil war trying to survive its life from being overcome by the Muslim religion. That's what these people believe. Well, I thank you for joining with us. We hope you'll take time to write us. Our mailing address is Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at this same time, keep looking up and ever praying, even so come, Lord Jesus.